This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. There was one line of this poem about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which we missed out last week. Inshallah, we'll be covering that. Allama Busiri says in this Qasida Burda, وَالْجِنُّ تَهْتِفُ وَالْأَنْوَارُ سَاطِعَةٌ وَالْحَقُّ يَظْهَرُ مِنْ مَعْنًا وَمِنْ كَلِمِي. The jinn were calling out. This is talking about before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became a prophet, or as he was born. The nations around the world, the people that they used to look up to and believe and take advice from, they would, like, their soothsayers, their fortune tellers, people that they used to ask for recommendations and advice from, witch doctors. All of them around the world, they were telling their people that, look, your nations are going to come to an end. Your deen is wrong. So that's what Allama Busiri is explaining. He says, "Wal jinnu tahtifu." The jinn were calling out. Suddenly a jinn will appear somewhere and tell people, look, this what you're doing is wrong, it's going to end soon. "Wal anwaru sati'atun." Lights were shining. And the lights, what we're speaking about the lights here, are the proofs of the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the proofs of his nubuwwat. And then he says, "Walhaqqu yadhharu," and the truth was becoming clear, was becoming manifest. The truth was becoming clear, "min ma'nan wa min kalimi," both from events that were occurring and from what people were saying. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was conveying the truth to the people around the world through amazing things that were happening, which we read about last week. And also by individuals clearly saying that this is what's going to happen in the next several years. So what all of this is speaking about are jinns speaking, fortune tellers mentioning to their people what was about to happen. And then we have where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were a number of other things happening, the Yahud and the Nasara, their leaders were telling them, their scholars were telling them what was about to happen. So the truth was becoming manifest in all of these different ways. For example, let's take some examples of this about jinn speaking. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in Medina, in Makkah Mukarramah, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, there's a place called Hajun in Makkah. There's a place called Hajun. Suddenly, from there, people began to hear a voice saying, "فَأُقْسِمْ مَا أَثْنَى مِنَ النَّاسِ أَنْجَبَتْ وَلَا وَلَدَتْ أَنْثَى مِنَ النَّاسِ وَاحِدَةً كَمَا وَلَدَتْ زُهْرِيَّةً ذَاتَ مَفْخَرٍ مَجْنَبَةٍ لُؤْمُ الْقَبَائِلِ مَاجِدَةً." So this was talking about a dignified individual being born. Another, on Jabal Abu Qubais, there's a mountain of Abu Qubais, which is just by the Haram. So that Jabal Abu Qubais, again on there you had somebody who was screaming out these poems, which had a similar meaning to the first one. That was at the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So less happened then. I mean, some things happened then. Then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got his prophecy, a number of other things took place. For example, there was a person called Sawad ibn Qarib. Sawad ibn Qarib, he used to be a soothsayer in the time of Jahiliyyah. Before Islam, he was a soothsayer. People used to come to him and he used to tell them things. And they used to believe. See, in every community, generally, people needed somebody that would give them some advice about unseen things. It's just the way communities, societies work, civilizations work. Majority of people, they would just rather listen to somebody who tells them something and it sounds interesting, and they will take it. That's why if the ulama aren't doing that job, or the prophets aren't doing that job, then somebody else is going to do that job. Even despite the fact that we have ulama and we've had prophets, because Anbiya, the Bani Israel, they were looked after by prophets. Each tribe had a prophet. Whereas in this ummah, there's no prophet after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith mentions that the Bani Israel were looked after by prophets, but in this ummah, the ulama will do so. So even though we have ulama, there's still people who like to listen to other people saying things. So anyway, Sawad ibn Qarib was a kahin, a soothsayer in Jahiliyyah. He says, once I was sleeping on one of the mountain peaks, one of the mountains of the Sarrat mountain range. The Sarrat mountain range, I was on one of their mountains, it was one of the nights, and suddenly I was woken up by somebody who came to me. He kicked me awake, he woke me up. And he said, Qum ya Sawad ibn Qarib, stand up, O Sawad ibn Qarib. Ataka rasulun min Lu'ay ibn Ghalib. I don't know, all of these stories, they have lots of poetry in them. So you wonder if this is somebody's retelling and they've poetized it, or it was just really poem. I don't know the authenticity of all of these stories. So I'll just let you know that from before. So he says that this person came, he says, Qum ya Sawad ibn Qarib, ataka rasulun min Lu'ay ibn Ghalib. Stand up, Sawad ibn Qarib. There's a prophet that has come to you from Lu'ay ibn Ghalib. Lu'ay ibn Ghalib is in the family tree of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I woke up, I looked up, and then I sat down, and as soon as I sat down, the person disappeared. So these are jinn. They were coming and saying things like this. So as this figure, this form, was leaving when I woke up and sat up, as it was leaving, he began to say, عجبت للجن وتطلابها وشدها العيس وشدها العيس بأقتابها تهوي إلى مكة تبغي الهدى ما صادق الجن ككذابها فرحل إلى الصفوة من هاشم ليس قدامها كأذنابها. So apparently this was a jinn, because what he was saying is that I am really astonished by the jinn, and they're looking for something, their pursuit. I am very astonished by the jinn and their pursuit. And they have taken everything with them to look for in this pursuit. They've gone to Makkah looking for guidance. And remember, the truthful jinn is not like the lying jinn. There are truthful jinn as well. So now you go to the Safwa min Hashim, and go to the pure person from the family of Hashim, who laysa quddamiha ka adhnabiha, that their front is not the same as their back, which means there is differences among them. Okay, then he fell back to sleep. He spent the rest of the night. Next night, again, same person, same form, whatever it was, seemed to be a jinn. He came back, kicked him. Qum ya Sawad ibn Qarib. Ataka rasulun min Lu'ay ibn Ghalib. Said the same thing to him. Stand up, Sawad ibn Ghalib. This prophet has come to you from Lu'ay ibn Ghalib. So I looked up, sat down, and this form was retreating again. And this time he said slightly different poem. عَجَبْتُ لِلْجِنِّ وَأَخْبَارِهَا. The first one was عَجَبْتُ لِلْجِنِّ وَتِطْلَابِهَا. In this one is عَجَبْتُ لِلْجِنِّ وَأَخْبَارِهَا وَرَحْلِهَا الْعِيسَ بِأَكْوَارِهَا تَهْوِي إِلَى مَكَّةَ تَبْغِي الْهُدَى مَا مُؤْمِنُوهَا مِثْلَ كُفَّارِهَا فَرْحَلْ إِلَى الصَّفَّةِ مِنْ هَاشِمٍ لَيْسَ قُدَّامُهَا كَأَدْبَارِهَا. Same kind of thing. He says, I'm astonished by the jinn and their news. And they are traveling, and their travel and their pursuit, they are going to Makkah to look for guidance. Their believers are not like their kuffar. Their believers are not like their disbelievers. In the jinn, there are believers and there are disbelievers. So go to the pure person of the Hashim tribe, because again, their forefront people are not the same as the people at the back. So then he disappeared. The third night, same thing. Again, somebody woke him up. So then he decided, now, maybe they used to have these experiences all the time in the mountains. So they didn't think much of it for 2 days. Oh, he must have thought about it and thought, I'll go, whatever. When it happened the third night, the next morning he got up and he says, اقتعدت بعيري فأتيت مكة. I got onto my animal, my camel, and I came to Makkah Mukarrama. And yes, there was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had appeared, meaning he had declared himself to be the Prophet. And I mentioned to him exactly what had happened over these 3 nights. And وَبَايَعْتُهُ, and I took the pledge from him. I made bay'ah to him. In some versions of this story, it mentions that when he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also explained his story in a poem. Right, so I'll read the poem anyway. He says, أتاني رئي بعد هدء ورقدة ولم يك فيما بلوت بكاذبي ثلاث ليال قوله كل ليلة أتاك نبي من لؤي ابن غالبي فرفعت أذيال الإزار وشمرت فرفعت أذيال الإزار وشمرت بي وشمرت بي الإرمس الوجنى عجول السباسبي فأشهد أن لا شيء غيره وأنك مأمون على كل غائب وأنك أدنى المرسلين وسيلة إلى الله بابن الأكرمين الأطالب فمر نائما يأتيك من وحي ربنا وإن كان فيما جئت شيب الدوائب وكن لي شفيعا يوم لا ذو شفاعة بمغن فتيلا عن سواد ابن قاربي. So this is B at the end, all of them. Sabasibi, Ghalibi, Kadhibi, Ghaibi, Atalibi, Dawaibi, Qaribi. So they were impromptu poets at that time. They could just say poems. Basically what he's saying is that at night time, somebody would come, wake me up, I would have this vision, and I'm not lying in what I'm telling you. 3 nights this happened for. Every time he came and he said that, go and seek this prophet who is from the children of Lu'ay ibn Ghalib. So then I got my garments together, I raised my trousers, meaning I put them on properly, and then I came and I bear witness that by Allah, besides whom there is no other God, that you are being looked after. You are being looked after, and that you are the last of the mursaleen, of the last of the mursaleen of the prophets, and you are one of the most noble of people. So, and then he says, be a shafi' for me, do shifarish, shafa'ah, intercession for me on the day when nobody will be able to do shafa'ah. So then just remember Sawad ibn Qaribi. So he said that to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's one story where the jinn came to somebody. So we only know this one, a few stories like this. Another one is the story of the Khath'amiyyin. This was a tribe of people, Khath'amiyyin. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that there was a group of the Khath'am tribe. They were sitting with one of their idols. And I think they had some kind of dispute among them. So they'd come to their idol to sit there and to make a decision. Suddenly, as they're sitting there, somebody calls out to them. They don't know where the sound is coming from. Ya ayyuha an-nas dhawul ajsami wa musnidul hukma ila al-asnami akullukum awraha kal kuhami ala tarawna ma ara amami min sati'in majlu dajad dhalami no min sati'in majluwin dajad dhalami dhaka bani sayyid al-anami min hashimin fi ذرره السنام مستعلن بالبلد الحرام جاء يهدم الكفر بالإسلام أكرمه الرحمن من أمامي or أكرمه الرحمن من إمامي. So again, this one is أصنامي أمامي أنامي حرامي إمامي. So apparently they heard this voice saying this poem, which says, O people who are in these bodies, who like to take their disputes to their idols. He's saying that, don't you see what's in front of you with this clear light that is coming? That is the leader of creation from the Hashim tribe. And he is in the Baladul Haram. He is clearly visible there in the Baladul Haram. He has come to remove kufr with Islam. And the Rahman Ta'ala has nobled him as an imam. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu was reporting the story. He said that as soon as they heard this, all of a sudden from behind or from around them, they stopped for a while and then they tried to remember what they heard. So the way it used to work in those days is that most likely, the few of them that were sitting there, they all remembered parts of it. Because remember, because they had an oral tradition, they didn't write much. So they would generally remember things very quickly, especially poems, they would remember it. That's why it was poem, because poem was easy to remember. So they quickly sat together and gathered all the poems together, because someone may have remembered this, or someone, hey, what did he just say? So then, you know, they say, oh, he said this, he said this, he said this. So they memorized it, until they memorized it. And then after that, within, they left after that, you know, they didn't know anything. But within 3 days, then they heard about the Prophet ﷺ. So the khabar, the news of the Prophet ﷺ came to them within 3 days, that he has appeared in Makkah. So all of this was happening during the time the Prophet ﷺ became the Prophet. Another story is what Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu reports. He says that once I was by an idol in the time of Jahiliyyah, before he became Muslim. He said, I was with an idol, by an idol, and somebody had just made a sacrifice to an idol. They just cut an animal, sacrificed an animal. So we were waiting, it was a sheep or something, and we were waiting for the animal to be distributed so I could take some meat home. Because, you know, they used to sacrifice the animal for their gods, and then they used to distribute the meat. Suddenly, as we're waiting for that to happen, from the middle of the carcass of the animal, we heard a sound. I've never heard any sound, he says, that was more clear and effective in its message. And this happened to him 1 month before his Islam. What did it say? Ya jama'atu thurayh, ya jama'atu thurayh, amrun naji, rajulun fasih, yaqulu la ilaha illallah. Oh, group of people, there is a successful matter, a successful event. A person who is very eloquent, who says La ilaha illallah. That's all it said. And then, of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they could make the connection. Allah subhanahu wa taala knows best. Then there is another story. These are all stories of voices coming from the unseen, from jinn and the like. Then you have the stories of the soothsayers. So for example, in that one, there's a very famous story of Shiq and Sutayh. It's a very famous story, this one, Shiq and Sutayh. There was a king of Yemen, the ruler of Yemen. His name was Rabi'a ibn Nasr. Rabi'a ibn Nasr, he was the ruler of Yemen. One night, he saw a dream that really, really made him fearful. It was about losing kingdom. It was about something really bad happening. So he saw this in his dream. And it made him, perturbed him, frightened him out of his wits. So he invited all the soothsayers, all the magicians, all the astrologers from around his kingdom. He invited all of them to come in front of him to his court. And he said to them that I've seen a dream which has really frightened me. They said, tell us the dream. We'll tell you what it means. He said, if I tell you my dream, I will not be satisfied with your interpretation and meaning that you give. Because the only person who will be professional enough and proficient enough to be able to explain this dream will be the one who already knows it. If I have to say it to you, I'm not going to be satisfied with your interpretation. But I'm only going to be satisfied by the one who already knows it, because only he'll be able to give me a proper meaning of this dream. So then a person said that if the king, if the ruler, if that's what he wants, then we're not good enough for that. He should send a person to call Shiq and Sutayh. There's nobody else other than them who would know this, who have that level of understanding of soothsaying. They're the only people who will know. Now, the Shiq, that was his title. It wasn't his name. His name was Rabi ibn Rabi'a ibn Mas'ud. Rabi ibn Rabi'a ibn Mas'ud. And Sutayh, his name was Mus'ab ibn Yashkur. Mus'ab ibn Yashkur. But they were known by their titles. So the king sent for them to be brought. So the first person that came was Sutayh. They were in different places. So Sutayh came first before Shiq. The ruler said to him, I've seen a dream which has really, really frightened me and made me really perturbed and destabilized me. I want you to tell me about it, because if you tell me about it and you are correct in your telling of it, then it means that you will have the proper meaning of it. What a condition. So Sutayh said to him, I'll do that. I will let you know. What you have seen is that you have seen something that has come out from the darkness, and it has appeared in the land of Tihama. Basically what he said, again in poem, رَأَيْتَ حِصَّةً خَرَجَتْ مِنْ ظُلْمَةٍ فَوَقَعَتْ بِأَرْضِ تِهْمَةٍ فَأَكَلَتْ مِنْهَا كُلِّ ذَاتِ جُمْجُمَةٍ. Which means that there's somebody who's come, there's something that has appeared out of the darkness. It's appeared in the land of Tihama, and it has eaten up everything down there. So the king said, you're not wrong in anything that you said. Meaning, the way you're explaining it, it's right, Ya Sutayh. So now tell me its meaning. He said, أَحْلِفُ بِمَا بَيْنَ الْحَرَّتَيْنِ مِنْ حَنَشٍ لَيَحْبِطَنَّ أَرْضُكُمْ الْحَبَشُ فَلَيَمْلِكَنَّ مَا بَيْنَ أَبْيًا إِلَى جَرَشٍ. I wonder where he finds these words from. مِنْ حَنَش, حَبَش, جَرَش. What he means is, I swear, by that which is between the two harratain, the two stony grounds, that the Habash, the Abyssinians, will overcome your lands. And then they will become the rulers between Abyan to Jarash, the two areas. They will become the rulers. So then the king said, by your father, Ya Sutayh, إِنَّ هَذَا لَغَائِذٌ مُوجِعٌ. This is extremely frightening. This is a very worrisome idea, that they're going to take over my area, my kingdom. فَمَتَى هُوَ كَائِنٌ. When is it going to happen? أَفِي زَمَانِي أَمْ بَعْدَهُ. Is it going to happen during my life, or is it going to happen afterwards? He said, بَلْ بَعْدَهُ بِحِينٌ. It's going to happen after you die. أَكْثَرْ مِنْ سِتِّينَ أَوْ سَبْعِينَ سَنَةً. يَمْضِينَ مِنَ السِّنِينَ. After 60 to 70 years after you die. قَالَ أَفَيَدُومُ ذَلِكَ مِنْ مُلْكِهِمْ أَمْ يَنْقَطِ. Then are they going to, is their kingdom going to then remain, or are they going to end as well? بَلْ يَنْقَطِ لِبِدْعٍ وَسَبْعِينَ مِنَ السِّنِينَ. No, they will also finish off 70 something years. They will rule for about 70 something years, then they'll finish. ثُمَّ فَيُقْتَلُونَ وَيُخْرَجُونَ مِنْهَا. They'll be killed and they will be taken out. Haribin, those who remain alive, they will run away. وَمَنْ يَدِي ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ قَتْلِهِمْ وَإِخْرَاجِهِمْ. Who's going to do that to them? يَلِيهِ إِرَمْ ذِي يَزَنْ. إِرَمْ ذِي يَزَنْ, they're going to do that. And then, فَيَخْرُجُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ عَدَنْ فَلَا يَتْرُكْ أَحَدًا مِنْهُمْ بِالْيَمَنْ. Then people will come from Aden, and none of them will remain in Yemen. By those people who come from Aden, they will take over and nobody from Yemen will remain. قَالَ أَفَيَدُومُ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ سُلْطَانِهِ أَمْ يَنْقَطِ. Now will that, those group of people, will they then stay or not? He said, بَلْ يَنْقَطِ, they will also end. How? نَبِيٌّ زَكِيٌّ يَأْتِيهِ الْوَحْيُ مِنْ قِبَلِ الْعَلِيِّ. There's going to be a prophet who is going to be pure. Wahi will come to him from the Most Mighty. قَالَ وَمِمَّنْ هُوَ هَذَا النَّبِيُّ. Where is this prophet from? قَالَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ وُلْدِ غَالِبِ بْنِ فِهْرِ بْنِ مَالِكِ بْنِ النَّضَرِ يَكُونُ الْمَلِكُ فِي قَوْمِهِ يَكُونُ الْمُلْكُ فِي قَوْمِهِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الدَّارِ. Subhanallah. A person from the children of Ghalib ibn Fihr ibn Malik ibn Nadhr, ibn so-and-so ibn Adnan. This is the family tree of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the kingdom will remain in his people until the end of time. So they will be the final rulers there of Yemen. قَالَ وَهَلْ لِلْدَّهْرِ مِنْ آخَرِ. Is time going to end? Is this world going to come to an end? قَالَ نَعَمْ يَوْمٌ يُجْمَعُ فِيهِ الْأَوَّلُونَ وَالْآخِرُونَ يَسْعَدُ بِهِ الْمُحْسِنُونَ وَيَشْقَى بِهِ السَّيِّئُونَ. Yes, there will be a time when the first and the last people will be gathered for it. And the people who do good, they will be fortunate ones. And those who do bad, they will be the wretched ones. قَالَ أَحَقٌ مَا تُخْبِرُنِي So after he said all of this to him, he says that, is this all correct and true and a reality, what you've been telling me? قَالَ نَعَمْ He said, yes, definitely. وَالشَّفَقْ وَالْغَسَقْ وَالْفَلَقْ إِذَا اتَّسَقْ إِنَّمَا أَنْبَأْتُكَ لَحَقٌ So he swore all of these oaths. And he said that what I'm telling you is definitely true. When he finished with him, Shiq came along. He reached. And just as the ruler had said to Sutay, he said the same thing to Shiq. But he didn't tell him what the responses that Sutay had given him. He wanted to hear from Shiq what he was going to say, to see whether they say the same thing or there's some difference in their stories. So he said, look, Ra'aytu his. He asked Shiq, what is my dream? He says, your dream is that you have seen something that has come out of Ra'aita Hussatan Kharashta min Dhulmatin Fawaqa'at Baina Rawdatin Wa Akma Fa'akalat Minha Kulla Dhati Nasama. So he said the same thing but using different words. You've seen something coming out of the dark that has come between the Rawda and the Akma and it has eaten everything that is alive. When he said to him, immediately the ruler figured out that yes, he knows what I'm talking about. He's on the same page as Sutay was. Except that Sutay had said, it will happen in the land of Tihama, or Tihma, as he'd said. And he'd used the word Jumjuma, whereas he used slightly different words. Anyway, the king said to him, that you're definitely telling the truth. You haven't told, this is exactly what I have seen. So now, what is your interpretation? So he said, أَحْلِفُ بِمَا بَيْنَ الْحَرَّتَيْنِ مِنْ إِنسَانٍ لَيَهْبِطَنَّ أَرْضَكُمْ السُّودَانُ فَلَيَغْلِبَنَّ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ نَاعِمَةٍ الْبَنَانُ وَلَيَمْلِكَنَّ مَا بَيْنَ أَبْيًا إِلَىٰ نَجْرَانُ He said, what's going to happen? I swear by the one, by all of the insan between the two Harra lands of Mecca, the Sudan are going to come, the Abyssinians, the Africans are going to come and overtake your land. And they are going to overcome everything. And they will become the rulers between Abyan to Najran. So then the king said to him, by your father, O Shiq, this is very worrying. How long will this happen? When will this happen? In my time or after my time? He said, no, after your time. ثُمَّ يُنْقِذُهُمْ عَظِيمٌ ذُو شَأْنٍ يُذِيكُهُمْ أَشَدَّ الْهَوَانِ Then after that there will be another great person that will come and who will really, really punish them. He said, who is this person that is so great? قَالَ غُلَامٌ لَيْسَ بِدْعِيٍّ وَلَا مَدِيٍّ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ بَيْتِ ذِي يَزَنٍ Somebody from ذِي يَزَنٍ He's going to be the one. قَالَ أَفَيَدُومُ سُلْطَانُهُ أَمْ يَنْقَتِئِ Will his rule and kingdom last or will that end as well? It will end. Who will end it? يَنْقَتِئُ بِرَسُولٍ مُرْسَلٍ So he had less information. But he said, يَنْقَتِئُ بِرَسُولٍ مُرْسَلٍ يَأْتِي بِالْحَقِّ وَالْعَدْلِ بَيْنَ أَهْلِ الدِّينِ وَالْفَضْلِ يَكُونُ الْمُلْكُ فِي قَوْمِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْفَصْلِ So he said, it will end by a messenger who will be sent, who will come with the truth and with justice between the people of the deen and people of fadl, and the kingdom will then remain in his people until the day of distinction. وَمَا يَوْمُ الْفَصْلِ What is this day of distinction when things will become clear? قَالَ يَوْمٌ يُجْزَى فِيهِ الْوُلَاتِ يُدْعَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ بِدَعْوَاتِ يُسْمَعُ مِنْهَا الْأَحْيَاءُ وَالْأَمْوَاتِ وَيُجْمَعُ فِيهِ النَّاسِ لِلْمِيقَاتِ يَكُونُ فِيهِ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى الْفَوْزِ وَالْخَيْرَاتِ So he's talking about the day of judgment, that it's going to be called from the heavens and people will gather and they will be given a recompense and a reward for the good and bad that they've done. Okay. قَالَ أَحَقٌّ مَا تَقُولُ Are you telling the truth? He said, "E wa rabbi as-samaa'i wal-ard wa ma baynahuma min raf'in wa khafd. Innama anba'tuka lahaqqun ma fihi amdi." He said, "Absolutely, by the Lord of the heavens and the earth and everything that is in between them, that is high and low. What I'm telling you is the absolute truth. There's no doubt about it." Now, this Rabi'at ibn Nadr, who was the king of Yemen, he became convinced and of course terrified, because this is signaling the end of his kingdom. So what he did was, he got all of his children and the people of his household and he sent them to Iraq from Yemen. He sent them to Iraq. And he wrote to one of the leaders of the Persians there, because Iraq was under the Persians at that time, whose name was Sabur, so that he allowed them to stay in a place called Hira. And basically then he sent his family away just so that they wouldn't be destroyed here, even though it was going to happen years and years and years afterwards. But so this happened before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, well before. Then you have another one, which is the Mubadhan, which is the Khosrows of Persia. He himself has a dream, sees something. What he sees is some camels eating up other camels. No, not eating. Driving other camels. And they've gone beyond the Tigris River. So remember, Iran and Iraq, all of that area was under the Persian Empire. And their head, the Mubadhan, the Kisra, lived in Mada'in, which was their city, which is now all finished. So he sees this, where these camels have gone beyond the Tigris River and they've spread in all of those lands there. This dream was seen by him. Actually, no, Mubadhan is not the Kisra. Mubadhan is somebody who lives there, is one of their main people. The Khosrows, his palace, his Iwan, his arch, that is the time when it shook. So this is happening at the same time. Allama Khattabi, he relates from the hadith of Hani ibn Hani al-Makhzumi, who was about 150 years old. He says that once, when it was the night of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's birth, the Kisra's palace, it shook, and 12 of its pillars fell down, and the Sea of Sawa that dried up, which we spoke about before, and then the fire of the people of Persia that was going on for 1,000 years, that went off, which we know about already. So now, that is when this Mubadhan saw this dream, when all of this was happening. So obviously he got worried. When Kisra woke up in the morning, he told him about it. Initially he made sabr, he was patient, he didn't do anything about it, thinking that it would be a bit babyish to start getting worried. So initially he made sabr and he tried to put it at the back of his mind. But when you've seen all of these things outside, it's happening, and you're seeing this dream inside, it became too much. So he couldn't keep it away from the people. So he put on his crown, sat on his throne, and he invited all of the people to come around him, meaning his main people to come around him. As they're sitting there, suddenly they hear the news, right? This is the beginning of the story, actually. As soon as he's sitting there, he's invited everybody. After his dream, he suddenly hears that the fire has gone out. So he just heard about the fire, that the fire has gone out. So he became even more worried. Then he told them what he had seen in his dream. So Mubadhan, who's their soothsayer or their advisor, whoever he is, he says, may the God reform the Amir. I've seen the same dream at night. And he told him the dream of the camels as well. He said, why? The king asked him, why do you think, what does it mean, Mubadha? He said, some things happen at the corner of the Arabian Peninsula. Some things happened there. And so they didn't know the full news. They had some idea. That's when Kisra wrote to Nu'man ibn al-Mundhir that he should send a person to him with this information. So he sent him a person called Abdul Masih al-Ghassani. Abdul Masih al-Ghassani. When Abdul Masih al-Ghassani came to the king, he said, do you have news about what I am to ask you? He said, the king should just tell me what he wants to ask me, and I'll see if I have information, I will tell you about it. And if I can't tell you about it, then I will refer you to somebody who will be able to tell you about it. So he said, he told him. And when he told him, he says that, oh, I have an uncle, a maternal uncle, mom's brother, who lives in Sham, in Syria, whose name is Sutayh. So it's that same Sutayh, apparently. He said, go and ask him. If he's the only person that knows, go and ask him. This occurred after the first story. Because when his nephew gets to Sutayh, Abdul Masih went to him, and Sutayh was about to die, meaning he was on his last days. Right? He made salam to him, and Sutayh did not even answer. Then Abdul Masih read this poem, in which he praised Sutayh. That kind of woke him up a bit. When Sutayh heard that poem, he raised his head and he said, Abdul Masih ata ila Sutayh ala jamalin mashi wa qad awfa ala ad-dari ba'athaka maliku bani sasan li'irtijas al-iwan wa khumud al-niran wa ru'ya al-mubadhan رأى إبلا تقود خيلا عرابا قد قطعت دجلة وانتشرت في بلادها. What did he say? He said, Abdul Masih has come to Sutayh on an animal, on a camel, when he is about to die. When Sutayh is about to die, the king of the Banu Sasan, that was the Sasanites, these were the Iranis at that time, these were the Persians, the Ahlu Sasan. He sent you because his arch, it has shook, and the fire has come, has been extinguished. And the Mubadhan has seen a dream. That's why you've come here. And he's seen these camels who are driving these other camels. And they've gone beyond Dajla and they've spread around his kingdom. That's what you've come for. So then he said to him, Ya Abdul Masih, Iza kathurat al-tilawa, wa zahara sahib al-hirawa, wa fada wadi al-samawa, wa ghadat buhayrat sawa, wa khamudat naru faris, فليست الشام لستيه شاما يملك منهم ملوك وملكات بعدد الشرفات وكل ما هو آت آت. And then he died. So what did he say? He said, when the tilawat will increase and the person, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will appear, and the wadi of Samawa will become overcome with water, and the Buhayra Sawa will dry up, and the Persian fire will be extinguished, then Sham no longer remains a place for Sutayh to stay. Because from among them people, there will be a number of people that will overcome them. And everything that's going to happen is going to happen. And then he died. Now Abdul Masih comes back with this information to Kisra, telling him what Sutayh had said. So then he said to him that there are 14 kings that are going to remain. Then after that, what happened is, within 4 years, 10 of them died. 10 people from the family of the Kisra died within 10 years. The rest of them then there were 14 people. There were 14 people in his family that could have become king. Out of that, 10 of them died very soon. They had some internal rivalry and disputes, and a lot of them became, this is reality. And then until the others, they managed to rule until the end of Uthman radiallahu anhu's time. And you know the story that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him a letter, and they tore it up. The ruler at the time, he tore it up. So after that, until Uthman radiallahu anhu's time, that was the end of them. And then the Muslims, they overcame their countries and their lands, and then totally ended. So that's why you have no longer any more Persians. There's a number of other stories. There's the story of Salman al-Farsi, which everybody generally knows. He was a person of another religion, and when his teacher was about to die, he said, "Who shall I go to?" So he sent him to a number of different people until eventually they sent him, he became Christian and everything. Eventually they sent him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's another story about. Then there's another story of Nu'man al-Sabbani. He was one of the Jewish rabbis in Yemen. When he heard about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam appearing in Makkah Mukarramah, he came there to ask him about certain things. And after he'd asked him the question, he said that my father had given me this big book. And he told me that you can read everything else, but when you hear that a prophet has appeared in Yathrib, in Medina Munawwara, then open this book. So when I heard about it, I opened this book. And there were all of these characteristics and descriptions. So that's why I came to you to ask, to see you. And I've seen the exact thing that's mentioned in those books. And it's mentioned in there what he will make halal and what he will make haram. And it said in there that you will be the best of the prophets, and your ummah will be the best of ummas, and your name will be Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And your ummah is going to be the hamidun, those who praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wa qurbanuhum dima'uhum, you will do qurbani. Wa anajiluhum fi sudurihim, and your injil will be in your hearts. So you know your book will be in your hearts, the huffaz. لا يحضرون قتالا إلا وجبريل معهم. Anytime they will be in a war, Jibreel will be with them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so much mercy on them, just like a bird has on its small chicks. That's how much mercy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has on his ummah. That's according to this story. And then he said that my father said to me that when you see that, then go and become Muslim. So he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to like to tell the Sahaba about his story. One day he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Hadithna ya Nu'man, tell us your story, Nu'man." So then he told him the story. He told the Sahaba and everybody the story. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting there smiling. This was the same Nu'man who Aswad al-Ansi killed afterwards. So anyway, there's a number of other stories. They sound very mythical to us because we're not used to these kind of things. Though these are all possibilities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, because the Sahaba probably heard them from people before them because they all occurred beforehand. Now what kind of narrators narrated them, Allah knows best. We don't have to rely on those stories for our belief in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are enough. We have enough things about that. For example, we have the Qadianis. So a lot of people, they have this idea that Qadiani, what's his name, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, died in the toilet. They keep saying that. So that's not true. He didn't die in the toilet. He actually died because he had a lot of diarrhea problem. So he died in his bed, in a soiled bed. Because I asked Bawasab, who is one of the Khatmi Nabuwat people, I said, did he die in a toilet? Like, how did he die in a toilet? Did he go on there to relieve himself? No, he was in his bed lying down. That's what happened to him. So we don't need those kind of things to understand that he was wrong. You know, there's the fact of what he preaches is wrong. Somebody said to one of their recent leaders that if he is the Prophet, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Mahdi will come, then the Dajjal will come, and Isa alayhi salam will come. So they claim him to be Isa. He's claimed himself to be the Mahdi first. Then he said, I might as well become Isa. So he claimed himself to be the next Prophet. So somebody asked the question to one of their recent leaders, one of his grandsons who's a leader, that for him to come, Dajjal should have come already, because he's going to kill Dajjal. Now, no Dajjal has come, for sure. You guys claim that he's the Prophet. But what about the Dajjal then? Dajjal has to come together because he will kill the Dajjal. So now look at his answer, very, very clever answer. He says, the eyes that have not recognized Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, how can they have recognized the Dajjal to have come? Because you don't recognize him, you haven't recognized the Dajjal. They both come and go. So this is just sophistry. This is just clever ways of saying things at the end of the day. But we need to have an understanding. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, there was a big thing about Qadianis and everything. They'd have Khatm al-Nubuwwat conferences, 2-3 of them a year and everything. But now recently, it's been, people have forgotten about these things. And they're doing a lot of da'wah. They say that one of the biggest so-called masjids is theirs in a place called Morden, South London. I've never seen it, but it's supposed to be gigantic. It's supposed to be one of the biggest, they say, in Europe, or I don't know what. So they have some support because they're given a lot of people from Pakistan when they come to this country. The easiest way to come, apparently, is to say you're Qadiani and you're persecuted. So you get asylum here. So many, many people, they're not Qadianis. They actually just call themselves Qadiani and being persecuted, and they come to this country. You have two groups among them. One group who say that Mirza was a prophet, and another group who don't believe he's a prophet, but they believe him to be a mujaddid, a reviver. Still problematic. Slightly better than the other, but still problematic, because it leads to some of the same kind of things. Because if you do a study of his life, it's very strange things that he used to say and he did, the history of his life is just very strange. So what I was trying to say is that we don't need stories like this necessarily to make our belief firm. These are just interesting points. The only reason we brought them up is because of the poet has Allama Busiri has alluded to them. We have our belief in Islam is a belief in the unseen. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. The person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't see Allah, but we believe in Him. We experience Allah. أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. That's the strength of our faith. Because if you start believing in just miracles, definitely happened. The first things that atheists deny are miracles. We believe in miracles of prophets and of awliya. But we don't have to go around believing everything that happens out there as a proof, like you see Allah in a tomato. Not Allah in a tomato, but you see the word inscribed. And you start making a big deal out of it. And there's pilgrimages that happen to see these things. We don't need that. Don't get too excited. The other day I was in some woods and so look, that tree is like Allah. I didn't take a picture of it. We know these are going to happen. What's the big deal? It's a reality. What's the big deal? It's a reality. These are small, small things. The main thing is that you worship Allah and get close to Him. And when you've experienced Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your heart, then none of these things matter anymore. That's the strongest evidence. Because somebody can come to one and say, look, it also says Isa. These Christians, they have these weird experiences as well, where on their hand, what's it called? Yeah, it's called stigmata. Certain signs appear on their hands and things like that, and they say, look, this is the proof of Jesus. So we have not been told that that is the way you... The only time that you do that is when there's a prophet who is claiming to be prophet and he shows miracles. Because anything that a wali does, that's for his own honor. Because that's why it's called karamat. The word karamat means a miracle of honor. Karam, karamat. It's not to show off and show others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to strengthen and support this wali of Allah. Sometimes it gives him something strange and ajeeb. So it's for him personally. You know, sometimes other people can benefit from that. But our iman is not with that. We believe in it, but our iman is not based on that. Tomorrow, if that same person, inshallah, it'll never happen. Somebody who's doing strange things, he becomes a gumrah tomorrow, as they say. And what's going to happen to your iman? So we trust our iman is with the ghaib. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that strength of iman in our heart. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم يا حنان يا منان لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين جزى الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Oh Allah, accept our du'as. Oh Allah, purify our hearts. Oh Allah, we're asking you with these hands which are outstretched and these tongues which are filled with sin. Oh Allah, oh Allah, our hearts have been filled with sin and bad thoughts and evil thoughts. Oh Allah, we ask that you purify our hearts. Oh Allah, we ask that you purify ourselves, our eyes, our ears, and every part of our body. Oh Allah, we're sitting in the masjid, which is a pure place. We ask that your nur and your rahmah that is available here, the doors of your mercy are opened up for us, and we take much of this mercy. And it preserves us and it helps us and protects us. Oh Allah, we ask that you make your obedience beloved to our heart and all the good deeds, you make them favorable to us. And you make them something that we are interested in doing and that we want to do them. And oh Allah, all the bad deeds, oh Allah, that you make them seem ugly in our eyes and in our heart, that we don't want to do them. Oh Allah, shaitan and our nafs gives us so much pleasure in bad deeds. Oh Allah, we want that you make them seem ugly in our hearts so we don't do them and we avoid them and you make it easy for us to avoid them. Oh Allah, we ask that you forgive us our sins and that you give us the tawfiq to do tawbah and repent to you often, oh Allah, and that we follow in the footsteps of your messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask that you shower us with your mercy, with your mercy so that our life can become one that is conducive to how you want us to be. Oh Allah, let us do those acts which you are happy and satisfied with. Oh Allah, allow us to always set our foot right and do the things which you are pleased with. Oh Allah, we ask that you grant us our kalima la ilaha illallah on our deathbed, and you protect us and our children and our progeny until the day of judgment. Oh Allah, make us true role models for people around us and for people around us, and make us true da'is. Oh Allah, guide us aright and make us guides of those who are guided. Oh Allah, in whatever we do, accept us for the service of your deen. Oh Allah, you have many ways to accept us for the service of your deen. Oh Allah, we ask that you accept every act and deed that we do and give us reward for it. Even the most mundane things, you purify our intention. So even when we eat, we are worshipping you. Even when we sleep, we're worshipping you. Oh Allah, we ask that you give us this connection with you, this love for you, so that the dhikr emanates from every part of our body and from our tongues and our hearts. Oh Allah, make us those who remember you abundantly, so that the best of the days will be the day that we stand in front of you, so that we will have our longing fulfilled of being there in front of you and finally being able to witness you. Oh Allah, accept our du'as and send your abundant blessings on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and grant us his company on the Day of Judgment and in Jannatul Firdaus. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules. And at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to leave, to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.